It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Just ahead, West Virginia may be plagued by health disparities, but there are bright spots where people overcome many seemingly insurmountable obstacles.
What we don't offer is made up for what we really do offer, and that's a common core, family values, a close-knit community, people that will do anything for you.
We'll hear more about how some towns are finding healthy lifestyles in just a moment. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. New data from the Federal Bureau of Investigation shows the number of hate crimes committed in West Virginia declined in 2017, even though the national trend went up. Glennis Board reports.
Hate crimes decreased by 24% between 2016 and 2017 in the state. That's according to the latest numbers released from the FBI's National Hate Crime Data Collection Program. Hate crimes are defined as crimes motivated by bias, like race, religion, or gender identity. Nationally, the country is experiencing the opposite trend, though, with an overall increase of 17% last year. Jim Nolan is a professor of sociology at West Virginia University Research Center on Violence. Nolan says in the recent past, those numbers nationally have been on the decline, but there was a noticeable spike and a resulting upward trend after the 2016 election.
Because, you know, the rhetoric, what was happening, what they were saying, you know, build the wall, a Muslim ban, identifying the enemy is out there and they're going to come and get us. All of that rhetoric, led to this spike in hate crime.
Nolan says historically there are direct correlations between current events and the number of hate crimes being committed in the U.S. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glynis Board.
A new report has identified 20 ready-made projects across the Ohio Valley that could help clean up and repurpose abandoned coal mine sites. Brittany Patterson has more.
Solar farms in Virginia, a green energy subdivision in Kentucky, 88 miles of mountain biking trails in Ohio, and a meat processing plant in West Virginia. These are just some of the projects that could be undertaken on abandoned coal mine sites across the Ohio Valley, according to a new report by a coalition of regional advocacy groups called Reclaiming Appalachia Coalition. The report outlines 20 projects already in the making that, if funded, could give abandoned mining operations that were never cleaned up a second life. The group argues well-thought-out reclamation projects can spur economic development. The idea has gotten a boost in recent years. Congress appropriated more than $100 million in both 2017 and 2018 for the Abandoned Mineland Pilot Program. Combined, the report's authors say the 20 projects would require about $38 million worth of investment, but would bring more than $44 million in economic activity and about 540 jobs to the region. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Brittany Patterson.
Bridging the gaps between generations is important as today's workplace or workplaces become increasingly multi-generational, with people continuing to work later in life and new faces entering the workforce every day. Every generation comes with a set of stereotypes, many of them unflattering. Natalie Turner of member station WYKU spoke to some young professionals in the Bowling Green area to see if they encounter negative stereotypes in the workplace.
People talk a lot about stereotypes.
With millennials, I'm sure you've heard what those stereotypes are. They're lazy, they only care about themselves, they're entitled.
That's Katrina Birch, an industrial organizational psychologist at Western Kentucky University. She's also a millennial, a member of the generation born from the early 1980s to the mid-1990s. Birch says all generations encounter workplace stereotypes, including today's older workers and today's youngest workers, Generation Z.
These are things that we talk about and that we read about, but they're not necessarily empirically supported by scientific evidence. And a lot of the research is mixed. Sometimes they find generational differences, sometimes they don't.
Ian Lowes is a millennial and a member of Bowling Green Young Professionals, a Warren County group that connects young workers with experienced employers.
The joke is people want a young doctor and an old lawyer.
Lowes says he was aware of generational stereotypes before he joined his law firm, but says stories exaggerate the bad.
It comes down to
negative experiences being broadcast more frequently than positive experiences.
Jacqueline Rowe, another member of Bowling Green Young Professionals, says her older coworkers saw past millennial stereotypes.
I find that the older generation, they have a lot to share. And in my experience, they've always been more than happy and very much willing to share. Like, they want to impart their wisdom and help form and shape the upcoming generation.
Professor Birch says even though millennials, Gen Xers, baby boomers, and even Generation Z have different stereotypes to fight, they all share the same workplace needs.
Autonomy, connection, competence, and respect, and really focusing on those unifying factors can maybe help bridge some of these gaps.
I'm Natalie Turner in Bowling Green.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:49. A mix of rain, sleet, and snow today with highs in the 30s and low 40s. A wintry mix possible tonight with lows in the 20s and 30s. Tomorrow, a slight chance of light snow early, becoming partly cloudy with highs in the 30s and low 40s. There is a winter storm warning in effect until 7 o'clock tonight in the east. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by Eggplant Gift Boutique in the Bridge Road Shops, Charleston, featuring holiday gifts for women, men, and baby. Open 7 days a week. Eggplantshop.com. Seven of the nation's leading causes of death are found at higher rates here in Appalachia compared to the rest of the country. But there is some diversity in these statistics. When researchers analyzed all 220 counties in Appalachia, they found 42 outperformed the statistical odds. A team of researchers has been studying why these communities are outliers. As Roxy Todd reports, in all of the communities that researchers studied, they found a culture of sharing and volunteering. She visited one such community in West Virginia.
When you walk through the door of a local diner in the smallest county in West Virginia, a chalkboard lists some homemade desserts: apple pie, pumpkin roll, fruit tart. And above that is written in blue chalk, "We do not have Wi-Fi. Talk to each other. Pretend it's 1995. I'm in Elizabeth, West Virginia, population a little over 800, in the western part of the state near Parkersburg. This is the county seat of Wirt County, a place with few fast food chains and no liquor store. Carol Menifee has lived in Elizabeth her entire life.
I spend a lot of time in the Chicago area, and I tell the people here when I come back, and I'm driving across the bridge there. I came out Route 50, and I drive across the bridge, and it says, "Welcome to West Virginia." And I just have that feeling of home. And it's just, there's no place like going home.
Many who grew up in Appalachia share similar deep feelings for home. But Appalachia has long been plagued by bad news stories about economic challenges, as well as poor health outcomes and lower life expectancy. There are many different theories on why this is. We have higher rates of smoking, drug overdoses, and obesity, and also challenges when it comes to accessing health care. But some communities have found ways to improve health without a lot of money or resources. A recent health study by the Appalachian Regional Commission and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation looked at 10 counties across Appalachia, including Wirt County, to find out why they did better than expected in most health measures. They called these counties bright spots. And what they found is, even though a lot of these places are resource scarce, they have other cultural strengths that may outweigh the lack of money and access to fancy hospitals. And because of those cultural strengths, they're faring better than their neighbors. Hillary Heishman is one of the researchers involved in the study.
Repeatedly, we see that how people collaborate, how different organizations collaborate and work together and coordinate with each other, it rises up as one of sort of the key ingredients in building a local culture of health or even a statewide culture of health.
According to the study, research shows that the quality of where one lives, learns, works, and plays can have a greater impact on health than having quick access to a doctor. Not to say that doctors aren't incredibly important when it comes to improving health, just that there's a lot more to keeping people healthy. Things like walking trails, activities that encourage people to be more active, and a strong network of churches that help on various community projects. The researchers found all of these qualities in Wirt County. Within walking distance of the local diner is a senior center, the three local schools, and the community health center, all connected by sidewalks that were built through a grant a few years ago. Kathy Mason is the director of the Wirt County Family Resource Network.
We also did a small section of sidewalks down here to utilize for some of the kids that walk to school.
Volunteers and various groups, including the Family Resource Network, worked on the sidewalk project together. They also built a walking trail that wraps around the elementary school.
And they put little sites clear around it that, you know, you can stop and do, you know, leg lifts or stop and do jumping jacks. So there's little encouragements clear around the trail that helps you improve your health.
After school lets out in the afternoon, the school allows the public to do laps or walk inside the school gym, a resource Mason says has been popular among Elizabeth's aging population. The list of community projects both Mason and Menifee are involved in makes my head spin. A 4th of July picnic and fundraiser for the local volunteer-run fire department, meals on wheels, and food giveaways during the holidays. Mason does most of this as part of her job, but like a handful of people in this community, Menifee does it as a volunteer. The projects that are run by volunteers here is impressive, but in a community where so much work is done by volunteers, I wonder if volunteers will get overworked. And when they leave or pass on, who will be there to do the work after them?
I think that the volunteering spirit is here, but I think that we, our little organizations, is just secluding themselves. They need to reach out and to ask for those people to volunteer.
Mm-hmm. We're at the Hope Thrift Shop, one of the most popular spots in town, with its 25-cent clothing rack. The store raises money to supply a food pantry located in the same building. Five churches regularly donate food here. Volunteer Beverly Chevron manages the Hope Shop.
Say it's just an emergency or just they're down on their luck for just 1 month. I mean, they may not qualify for the food through the government standards, but we'll still be able to help them.
The Hope Shop has been in this community about 20 years, but they do struggle to find enough volunteers to keep the place going. And more people here commute to Parkersburg or Ohio for work, limiting the time they're available to help on community projects.
You know, so many people have to have two jobs to survive.
On top of managing the shop as a volunteer, Chevron operates a small store in a neighboring county, about 40 minutes away. She loves living here in Wirt County, but she says it is a struggle to make a living without traveling elsewhere for work. Elizabeth isn't located near any interstate exit, and it's not the kind of place you pass through accidentally. It takes about 20 to 30 minutes to reach the nearest hospital in Parkersburg. Residents can get a lot of their health care here in downtown Elizabeth at the Copeland Health Clinic, inside the same building as the pharmacy. Inside where patients sign in, there's a sign that says no patient will be denied services because they cannot pay.
We're going to do everything we can to get them care at the time they need it.
Holly Lutman, office manager here, says the clinic charges patients based on what they can afford, and their services include primary care, x-rays, lab work, behavioral health, and cancer screenings. For more specialized services, such as dialysis, surgery, or the birth of a baby, residents must travel out of the county. But despite the challenges of living here, Beverly Chevron says Wirt County's best strengths are not in its resources, but in its people.
Though we don't offer a whole lot, what we don't offer is made up for what we really do offer, and that's a common core, family values, a close-knit community, people that will do anything for you.
And according to the researchers, Wirt County is special, but not entirely unique. Many of the residents in the other Bright Spots communities share the same values in their towns, a willingness among organizations to share resources instead of competing, a strong support system, and people who will help each other out in times of need. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Roxy Todd in Elizabeth, West Virginia.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.